So you are now listening to the Can You Believe That Star Wars Spoiler Cast. We are going to talk about Star Wars in depth. So if you have not seen the movie, which I don't know why you wouldn't have seen it by now, but don't listen anymore because we're going to spoil it all.
Yes, and if you haven't been spoiled by now, you have been a blessed soul. Take your butt to the theater.
So, why don't we give our general impressions first, and then we can go into some blow-by-blow things. How does that sound to you?
It works for me.
All right, I'll let you start it off.
Well, I'm going to say my general impression is that we have a good movie. I'm probably going to sound like a lot of other reviewers here. It wasn't perfect, but it did the job it was supposed to do, and it brought Star Wars back from a place of where the people who were fans still loved it.
Right.
But the last Star Wars movie to come out, they didn't love very much. They hate on the prequels. They hate them. They hate them badly. So with this being new generation, completely doing new things, and picking up and along the line of 30 years later, I think they did a good job. And I'll get more in depth into it later. But yeah, I think they did a really good job with the movie.
I agree with you. I think that excuse me. This was the movie that kind of had that original Star Wars feel to me. Unlike the prequels, which shall not be named, this movie was undoubtedly a Star Wars movie from the very beginning to the end. And so, as you said, there were some things about it that weren't as good, but overall, I think it was excellent, especially considering the weight of opinion that was on the directors and the actors to get everything right and to satisfy a young audience who's maybe never seen Star Wars and those of us old fogies that were there at the original premieres.
Yes, because I was 5 years old, so when the first one hit. So
well, and I was trying to explain to my kids, you know, when Star Wars came out, you didn't have VHS tapes and all this other stuff. You had to go see that movie in the theater if you wanted to see it again.
Yeah, and it was pre-ever. Star Wars was pre-everything.
Yeah.
Or everything was just starting. Like, they were starting to talk about cable. They were starting to talk about having these devices in the home. I mean, a VCR was probably still $20,000.
Right.
And who knows how much a tape was in 1977, you know. It predates the modern world, you might say.
Well, I've already seen Force Awakens twice with my kids.
And I've still only seen it once.
I'll probably see it one more time while it's in theaters because I hear that they do have it in the IMAX in Philly. So we are looking, and I didn't realize they had one down there. So I may need to check it out in IMAX.
I might go tomorrow. The only reason I haven't seen it twice is because of all the running around I did Monday.
Yeah.
And I was going to go, and then I couldn't find a place to park. And then, you know, I couldn't get the show I wanted. And, you know, and the way my wife was working, everything I could have got that I would want. I wasn't going to go out to where I could pick her up from.
Right.
Come all the way back home and go all the way back out there again just to see the movie in the theater.
Yeah.
The theater's closest to my house didn't have it in the way I wanted to see it where it was. Cause I'm not paying for 3D. You can keep that. I'll pay for IMAX. I'm not paying for
3D. Well, I went to see the 3D one, just me and my son, because we just had to see it, and we actually went to like a 10 o'clock show because I had already gotten tickets for Wednesday, because when they originally released the tickets, I was at work. They were all pretty much gone.
Yeah.
So we found those last minute. We went, but, even after Wednesday, the seats were just still full, you know, during the middle of the week.
Right. Well, they said it was setting records. It set a Christmas Day record. It set, you know, it's the fastest movie ever to $1 billion.
Yeah. And it hadn't even opened in China yet.
No, it has not yet opened in China. So it's like one of these things where it's just like, yo, here you have a movie that everybody wants to see, and it kind of disproves the whole, well, nobody's going to see a movie with a black lead and a white woman lead. They don't make money.
That's funny, because I was just about to say, one of the best reviews I read said, wow, who'd have thought that people would like to go see a movie that has actors who actually look like them?
Yeah, really.
But it did cover a wide range of demographics. You know, they said there was 51% men, 49% women.
Mm-hmm.
And not all of those were diehard Star Wars. I think they estimated it was almost the same split between men and women on who were diehard Star Wars fans and who just went. Yeah.
Right. Well, you gotta think. This was made to draw new people in.
Yes.
You know, so that's why you had a lot of the choices on casting, a lot of the way it was marketed. I mean, cause the marketing blitz for this was ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they probably actually put out more than they should have. But it was still enough that you didn't know what was happening in the movie.
Yep.
You had to guess.
Yep.
You had to guess what was going on.
And because I didn't watch any of the trailers and things, and I even the commercials. I wouldn't watch the commercials. So I had some genuine surprises in the movie, but then after I went back and watched the trailers, I could see where I thought they were giving a lot away, and they didn't, or they misled you in a lot of ways.
Right, because, who had any idea that the lightsaber fight between Finn and Kylo Ren was going to be on a gigantic Death Star.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so,
well,
there's that.
Let's just get into it then. Well, I think that probably the best way, if we kind of go over the characters as they were introduced into the movie, or maybe our favorite scenes. So, I like to start off with the drop pod. Dropship coming down with the stormtroopers in there. And, real quick, the opening scrawl.
Yes.
One of the reasons that really made me feel like it was Star Wars, they put you in this world where they don't explain anything. It's assumed that you know or you'll find out later. And it just starts off, you know, Luke Skywalker is missing.
Yeah.
Because, I don't know about you, I assumed he would be there from the beginning.
Yeah, I thought he was going to be in it much more than much more than he was.
Yeah. So, I mean, just seeing that was setting me up to, all right, I'm going to have some expectations blown here. But, so the drop pod comes down, they get into the, village, they're trying to get the, plans for, or the map for Luke Skywalker from Poe, Poe Dameron.
Right.
So what do you think of Poe's character?
I think he's good. I think he's a good character. He turned out to be a great pilot. And I'm glad that they changed their mind about killing him. And you could see as the movie went on that the initial thought was, yeah, he's dead.
Yeah.
It's over with for him. You know, but I'm glad he wasn't.
Yeah.
I'm glad it was open-ended enough and plausible enough that there was a way to bring him back.
Yes.
And have him come back.
Cause,
even though it still left a giant plot hole.
Yeah, because I thought that too. I'm like, they introduced him just to kill him off like that? No.
Yeah.
But it didn't seem that he was coming back the way they did it.
No, it did not. But I'm glad. You knew he was going to make it throughout the movie.
Yes.
Because if you did watch any of the trailers, you're like, well, wait a minute. They don't show him slap him on the shoulder, so he has to be in the movie later.
Yeah.
You know, so there was that. I found, with to pick up on what you said, I found Poe Dameron. He really looks like he's going to be the quote-unquote hotshot fighter pilot.
Right.
I think he's going to be a toned-down Han Solo.
Yeah. Now, is he going to be in Rogue Squadron? The movie.
Rogue One?
Yeah.
No, he's not going to be in that. That's set before Star Wars.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
That's actually going to be set before Star Wars. So, he's going to be a cross since he's an X-Wing pilot, he has a little bit of Luke Skywalker. Yeah. Since he's a smartass, he has Han Solo.
But I mean,
so he's kind of like riding this wave of a mixture of the two characters.
And I thought it was just great. I mean, how he gets up there and he's clearly outmatched by Kylo Ren and the stormtroopers. Yeah. And it's when he gets there, he's like, "No, I talk first. You talk first. How's this work?" You know, just that whole exchange just had me dying.
Yeah, that was funny. Kylo Ren, to show how strong he is naturally with the Force. Yeah. Something we've never seen. Vader didn't even pull the, "Let me just stop the bolt right there before it gets here."
Yes,
Vader would catch them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Vader would just catch them whatever.
That's definitely
new
for the Star Wars universe.
Yeah, he just stopped the bolt dead, like, and it just literally sits there until he walks away and takes his mind off of it. You know,
well, I didn't realize until I watched it the second time that he held it there throughout everything and then let it go at the end. I didn't catch that the first time.
Yeah, I did.
You're more observant in that respect.
Nah, probably not, but yeah, I caught that the first time because it just stayed there.
Yeah.
And when it hit, a bunch of stormtroopers called like, "What? Where? What? Huh?
Yeah.
What?" So at this point, you don't know it yet, but you're also being introduced to Finn during this whole thing, who seems to have a case of combat freeze. You know, he's the one stormtrooper not shooting.
Yeah.
The way he's able to emote through everything is like, wow, I knew this dude was good because I saw Attack the Block.
Yeah.
Years ago.
See, I've never seen it. I didn't know anything about him before the movie.
Yeah, that's the only other movie I saw him in that I can think of.
Okay.
And he was good in that. He did brooding very well. So he emotes through this and you can feel, it's kind of like you can almost feel what he's feeling as the one trooper dies and rubs his hands on his face and, you know, on his face mask rather.
Yeah.
And he's just sick. Something has snapped in him because as they explain later, stormtroopers don't do this.
No.
At least not First Order stormtroopers don't do this.
I mean, you get the hint that he was taken from birth, wherever. And trained to be a First Order stormtrooper. So all these people are kids programmed, I mean, just as effectively as having a clone and raising it to get them from birth and raise them in that way. Because I don't believe the original stormtroopers from the first trilogy were like, they were just like regular people.
After the clones. They weren't clones.
Right.
I mean, there were things that they did to try to explain this stuff. Like, in between, because I think they said after Order 66 or whatever, the clones would start dying off.
Yeah.
So they had people start filling in.
But you
start filling in.
You always got the sense they were highly trained adults, though.
You know,
like normal military people would be, not this raised from birth to do just one thing.
Right. And so. When they go back to the ship, meanwhile, Poe sent his boy off, his homie, my dude, BB-8.
Oh yeah, BB-8.
sent him to roam the desert. but that gold man, BB-8 had more, was a better actor than some actors I've seen.
He really knew how to emote with that robot.
Yeah, they made that robot emote so well, man, because the robot was giving out side eyes.
Yeah, or he gave a thumbs up. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, thumbs up. I was like, okay, you know what? This robot's cool. Yeah. Okay, he's cool. But then they get back to the ship. Finn unmasks himself, which I guess is a big no-no for a stormtrooper, because the very wasted Captain Phasma.
Yes.
Comes up and checks him on it.
I'm hoping they use her more. Well, I'm certain they'll use her more. They're setting the world up. So.
Yeah. Yeah. This definitely was a setup movie. So you get introduced to Finn. You actually see Finn's face. You see that he's like literally freaked out about what he's seen.
Yeah.
And the order, and he might have been fine, as long as the order to kill everybody hadn't happened.
Now, you saw that Kylo Ren noticed him.
Yes, he did.
And do you think that, even though it's not really stated in this, like, Rey is the one that has the Force, do you think he has the Force as well?
I think he does.
Because he did say there was an awakening, and he knew who it was. And he instantly knew who Finn was. You know, like when they just said that there was a trooper, you know, wasn't doing what they were supposed to, he instantly knew who that was.
Yeah. I think what it is his is still latent.
Yeah.
His hadn't popped up, hadn't manifested itself because I'm sorry, in a fight much later in the movie, even though he gets his butt thumped, he holds his own way too long for somebody who doesn't have their plan is not being force sensitive at all.
Because he's never used any, he's used blasters and stuff. He's never used any kind of bladed weapon or.
Right. You know, like, yeah, he's not good, but he shouldn't even be holding his own at all.
Right.
You know, but then, yeah, we go back to the ship, to the Star Destroyer. Good Lord, that Star Destroyer is huge. And he finds Poe and they go to escape and their snappy banter starts back and forth with them. Once they get onto the TIE fighter, which I'm kind of glad they upgraded the TIE fighter.
Yeah.
It still doesn't look like they have shielding at all, but
no.
The fact that there's a gunner and a pilot now.
Right.
It kind of makes it make more sense as a space combat ship.
Yes.
In a way.
Yeah. And they're slightly bigger than the original TIEs.
Yeah, they also seem bigger. And again, this is just one faction of an Empire remnant. We don't know what other remnants of the Empire are out there. You know, we're getting a slice. We're not getting the whole thing. So they go, they get out, they do a little Star Trek style defiant run, shooting guns up under the Star Destroyer, and then they dive away and get hit. And you get the crash landing. Well, Finn gets ejected, obviously, Poe gets ejected. And this is the part of the movie that got real slow to me, overly slow, was the showing of Finn shedding his old self. I know why they did it.
Right.
I know why they had to do
it's
it.
It's evocative and everything.
Yeah, right. But it was slow.
Yeah.
It was kind of slow. At this point, you meet Rey. Now, I'm going to say that I'm just going to get this off out the top. If Rey is not a Skywalker, and even if she's a Solo, she's a Skywalker. Think about it. If she's not a Skywalker, then they blew all the setup.
I say she has to be a Skywalker. And the one thing that made me believe this is near the end of the movie, just to get ahead a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
When she comes back to the base after they rescued her, Leia mm-hmm. goes up and just hugs her and like holding on to her. Leia never met Rey.
Yeah.
Cause she was gone that whole time. She didn't know anything about this girl, but she seemed to have this deep connection instantly for someone she'd never known, just heard about.
Right. Right. And I mean, there are other little clues. She's a tinkerer.
Yeah.
That's a Skywalker trait.
On the sand planet.
On the sand planet, there's another Skywalker thing. Then there's the her piloting. Like everybody's Han Solo about piloting. Anakin and Luke. And even though you don't really see Luke's piloting skills, because I mean he really only flies in Star Wars, and in Empire it's the snow speeder. And in Return of the Jedi, he's not flying anything. But Luke is supposed to be a better pilot than Han Solo.
Yep.
So, and Han Solo ain't no joke, as we have witnessed. So the stuff that she pulled, the things that she did, is all scream Skywalker. All of it. Every last little bit of it.
Yeah, I agree.
But the grabbing on and finding the Falcon, I'm sitting there like, nope, that's not the Falcon. That has to be a ship that looks like the Falcon. That can't be the Falcon. Oh, it is a Falcon? Okay, that's kind of easy. So that's one of the things. That's another one of my small nitpicks.
But I thought that was great the way they did it, where it's like they're running past. They say, not the piece of junk. We're getting a quad jumper.
Yeah.
That blows up.
And
okay.
Then the pod,
yeah, okay, we're going to get the piece of junk. And then you pan out to see the Falcon. I don't care. That was a great moment.
No, it ended up being a great moment. But as soon as I saw it, I'm like, okay, nope, that's not going to be the Falcon. That can't be the Falcon. That shouldn't be the Falcon. Okay, it's the Falcon, whatever. And the whole, we got to fix this, and doing all the stuff with it, I'm like, okay, yeah, it's definitely the Falcon. Okay, cool. You know, the maneuver she pulled in flying through the Star Destroyer and the cutting of the engines so the cannons can lock on, and yeah, that was all great stuff.
Oh, yeah.
There.
And showing how her and Poe work as a good team, just meeting each other.
You mean her and Finn?
I mean, yeah, Finn. Her and Finn.
Yeah.
Even though they just met each other.
Right.
They seem to have that connection as well.
Right. And, you know, and yeah, there's definitely a connection between them. And I'm sure there will be nerd heads exploded if they turn out to be the Han and Leia of this trilogy. Because it looks like it's going that way.
It does. I'm not sure though. I mean.
It might not.
Yeah.
But it looks like it's going that way. Those two have too much of a...
I think that would be another
heat connection.
Head-blowing moment for lots of people out there.
Yeah, well, I'd be sitting there cackling like the evil genius I am.
I mean, it was great. It's like, first, here's a girl. She doesn't need rescuing at all. When Finn meets her, he's running from her. She's taking guys out on her own. Then when he's running... when they're running, he grabs her hand, keeps trying to grab her hand. She's like, I can run faster on my own. You know,
stop grabbing my hand.
But I think it was more, he's the one that wanted to have someone holding his hand.
Right. Well, also you got to rethink. The thing is, when he's drinking the nasty, disgusting water and she starts to get into a fight, he gets up to go to help her and he's like, oh, okay. And then that's when BB-8 spots him.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, at no point in that movie does she need a guy to be who she is, even when she's captured and everything.
Right. And then, so once they're off, and then the Falcon's like, I don't know, is it disabled or is it?
It was like having a tractor beam.
I thought it just got disabled. I thought it was disabled at first, and they were trying to fix it, and then it got caught in a tractor beam, and. You know, and then there's Han and Chewie. And it was like when they first came on screen, well, I mean, you knew it was going to happen, you just didn't know where or when because it was kind of given away in the trailer.
That was another just great scene though with
yeah, it was.
With them coming
yeah,
on board.
Really was.
And I liked how, I mean, you obviously have questions in your head right away. Like, what are they doing out here on their own? Where's Leia and stuff? And
where's the fleet? Isn't he a general? What's happening?
Yeah, it's
here?
Like he's running a freighter? Han Solo?
Yeah. Yeah. And he's back up, and he's back to being his old self where we met him at way back when. You know, and then they get boarded. And I'm sorry. It was a funny, hilarious sequence. But you know that the people that showed up were the fight team from the raid.
I know. Did you notice that too?
Yeah. I mean, I didn't see the raid. I had heard about it.
Oh, yeah,
but when
yeah.
I'm like, that was the fight team from the
raid?
Yeah, they didn't do anything. I'm expecting some Sith and some Jedi. I'm expecting some, they're going to get funky with it. And nah, we just going to be here and get eaten by these things.
Again, I'm hoping some of them made it out and you see them in another episode because they had both of those groups had people left over.
Yeah, they did.
So like one captain of the Asian group, I think he got eaten, but not the main guy who does the fighting in the raid.
Okay.
So he may be back in the next episode or
in the next one.
Right.
Okay. So where did it go from there? Okay, I think at this point we get Kylo Ren's speech to the helmet.
Yes.
and he reveals that he is the grandson of Darth Vader.
Yep.
And he is whining about the light pulling at him. I find it's kind of like it fits the character.
Yes.
It fits the character so well that he's a whiny bitch.
He reminds me a lot of Anakin. You know, the
Anakin,
Hayden Christian Anakin.
To the 10th power.
So it's good in the sense that you are supposed to hate him. And
yeah.
That gives you more reason to want to see him sliced in two by anybody.
Yeah. Or, and everybody.
Yeah.
But at this point, he hadn't revealed his face. I can't remember when he revealed his face in the movie.
It was
because I'm sitting 2 weeks out now.
He revealed it when Rey was captured, and she's
okay.
talking about him being behind a mask, because everyone
yeah.
is expecting to see a monster under the mask, and
right.
then he takes it off, because and he's got like Goldilocks, you know.
He's a baby face.
Yeah, with long flowing hair from L'Oreal
right.
commercial or something.
Yeah, yeah. And, so.
Oh, and his temper tantrum when he destroys
yeah,
the console and.
Yeah, when they said that Poe had escaped.
Yeah.
He threw a temper tantrum with his broadsword of a lightsaber.
But I mean, it fits his character because you see, and again, things I watched on the second time, like the first episode, or first time I watched it, I didn't recognize mm-hmm. that his lightsaber was not complete.
No, it's not.
It's like raggedy.
But that's something that I've been, right. That's something that I had known for a while. But it still fits his character.
Right.
Because he's broken. He doesn't know what he is.
So he's a great pretender. Yeah. The First Order, they're nasty people, but you know, I mean, their generals young. Like all their troops
yeah.
are young. They're obviously
yeah.
startups who are trying to be bigger
right.
than they actually are. And
right.
he's the worst of them.
Right. And then you finally get to see Supreme Leader Snoke, who gives you the impression that he is actually a Sith Lord.
Yeah.
He's scarred. He's doing the intimidation thing with the giant hologram.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, okay, I think this dude is actually the Sith Lord they're going to eventually have to face. And he seduced Ren somehow, because Ren is still like, but the light, it calls me.
Yeah.
You know, but he doesn't want the light. He's being a petulant teenager.
Well, and it's funny because I'm thinking he doesn't know the legacy of Darth Vader, or else he wouldn't be looking at him as he did, because Darth Vader turned to the light at the end.
At the end, right.
So I'm wondering what Lord Snoke, I'm assuming, has poisoned him in his recollection of who Vader was. But then you would think at some point
him?
When he was being trained by Luke, he would have known the truth?
Well, we don't know when he was seduced to the dark side. We don't know what Snoke was feeding him.
Yeah.
Because, and then the thing that I missed, and this is why I need to see it again, I don't know if I blinked, nodded out, what happened, but the part where they said Ren killed all
yeah.
the apprentices.
Not only did they do that in Rey's flashback in the cantina.
Okay.
You see Chi's there, but laying around her, I believe those are the apprentices that were killed. And it looks like Kylo Ren has some guys with him who are not Jedi or Sith, just like thugs, basically, or probably early First Order.
Yeah.
Excuse me. So it looks like she's seeing that event when they were killed.
Right. And it was, and he, well, they said it. He is the master of the Knights of Ren.
Yeah.
So, he's not a Darth.
No.
Is Ren a Sith rank?
I've never heard of that in the Star Wars
is
universe.
Is Kylo a Sith rank? Because we know Darth is a rank.
Right.
In the Star Wars universe.
Right.
So, like I said, we don't know. And we don't know what we're going to get once we get to episode 8.
I mean, they did a very good job of setting things up for the next, and kind of passing the torch on to these new actors for Star Wars series.
Yes. So let me see. So how did it go? So once the Falcon jumps out and gets away, they go to see Leia. No, they don't go see Leia right away.
Right. They go.
They go see Maz Kanata.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Who is voiced brilliantly by Lupita Nyong'o.
Oh my gosh, she did an excellent job with that.
I wish she was in the movie more,
yeah.
But, you know, to take up the point of the Yoda-type character is cool.
She's still alive.
She's still alive. My thing was, why does she have Anakin's and Luke's lightsaber?
Yep.
Where did it come from?
Well,
they said they found it in the bowels of Cloud City.
Right, because that's the one he dropped when his hand got cut off.
Yeah. Yes.
Excuse me. My throat still.
I understand that being sick stuff is murder. So she somehow gets the lightsaber. The scene in the trailers where she hands it to somebody isn't there.
No.
There's a bunch of scenes in the trailers that aren't in the movie. And maybe about the time the Blu-ray comes out, maybe they'll be back.
Right.
Because who knows where they are, where they fit, and how they fit.
Yeah.
Or
just cut.
Or they're just cut. So Rey, Finn's like, I'm out of here. You don't know what this is. I know what this is about. They're going to kill everybody. I got to go. I'm not dealing with this.
But there's also, if I could back up a minute, when they meet Maz and she's looking at Finn and she crawls up and it's like she can see that he's, I won't say a coward, but that he's a runner.
Yeah.
He's running from something, but then he says, you know, you don't know anything about me. And I think there is so much more to his backstory, even though he was taken as a child, but he still seems to remember. So I don't think he was like a little baby.
Right. Well, I just don't want him to be Lando's son. I do not want him to be Lando's son at all.
I don't think
Not even a little bit.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Because that would be just late. That would be the ultimate in lazy.
I mean, it's 30 some odd years on. Lando is getting up there in the original trilogy.
Right.
I mean.
Well, they all were because Han wasn't young.
Yeah, but I mean, as far as their age in the series or, you know, in the universe, he looked like he was already past that time where he'd be fathering children.
Right. not that he wasn't having fun doing the other stuff.
He's Lando, so, you know.
He's Lando, so, you know, Colt 45, maybe Colt 45. But yeah, so when they get to Maz and the lightsaber happens, and then we touched on it earlier, after her and Finn had the argument and Finn reveals that he's a stormtrooper and not part of the resistance. Something we didn't mention, but it's there.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, look, you need to run. We need to run. Come with me. She's like, no, I'm not running. He's like, I gotta go.
Yeah.
So he's on his way to going. She gets pissed at him and she goes roaming this place and something starts calling her.
Yes.
So when she goes down and gets down into wherever this is and goes into this room and opens the chest and grabs the lightsaber, this force vision kicks off. And yeah, Ren's killing of the Padawans that Luke was training, trying to redo the Jedi Order. Not necessarily showing his fall, his complete fall, but the other visions that she had, and I can't remember all of them.
Well, I mean,
they
were still jumbled, even though I saw it twice, they were still a little jumbled for me, but reading some stuff after I watched the movies, they said that the voices at the end, just before her vision ends, is Vader and Yoda.
Yeah, I remember that. And they,
they showed her on the planet being left, and it looks
yes,
like the guy who ran the slave operation there, or partial, or not slave, but like indentured servitude, how he kind of seemed to come across. She's left with them, which begs the question, you know, if that's Luke Skywalker's daughter, I assume he wouldn't have left her, so someone may have taken her and left her there to separate them.
I think she was left kind of like he was to protect her, because Ren knows about her. Because if you remember when they went to tell him, but when he had his sissy fit, there was a girl, and he snatches the guy up to him.
Yeah. Oh man, that was a great scene too.
So he knows who she is.
I think he senses, but I'm not sure he knows.
No, I think he knows who she is. She could be his sister.
Yeah, I mean, if she's family, she's family
she's
in some
cousin.
Way. You know,
she's family in
some
way.
Yeah, he would know about her because he has his memories. She may not.
Yeah.
But that's true.
And he's older.
Yeah.
Well, if you remember some of the other stuff back where in, she was living in.
Yeah.
She had a X-Wing pilot helmet.
Yes.
And she had a homemade Rebel fighter pilot action figure doll.
Yeah.
Laying there.
I saw that too.
So I'm like, yeah, she's Luke's kid. There's no way around her being Luke's kid.
And I didn't necessarily
link
those. If
she's not Luke's kid, I'll be surprised.
I didn't necessarily link those because so much of that stuff around them was from the battle. And she was a collector.
Right, but she gravitated to it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I believe she's Luke's kid.
Right. So we go, and the First Order now has shown up. Because when they entered the quote-unquote new cantina scene, everybody goes and tells everybody. There's a spy there for each side. And they go and they tell. And the First Order gets there first.
Well, runs off because she tells Maz that she doesn't want to have anything to do with the Force. And I believe it's because of the vision, because before, up to that point, she was all about saving the universe, finding Luke Skywalker. And then she has a vision.
Right.
And I think she knew some more of her background, because that's when she realizes she can't go back to Jakku. No one's coming to meet her there.
Right. Well, Maz basically told her. So it's like, well, my family, well, who's your family?
Right.
She said your family's not behind you, your family's in front of you. So she runs, so of course she runs off, BB-8's with her, chases her, whatever. And then she looks up in the sky and it is the First Order. And they come in force. And doing Empire-like stuff, they're just blowing stuff up randomly. So they take out the castle. Somehow Finn ends up with the lightsaber. I forget how he ended up with it. Because he comes back.
Oh, I think Maz gave it to him.
Okay. And then Chewie pushes some stuff off. The fight started. Chewie pushes some stuff out of the way. And him and Han come up busting.
Okay. Here's a controversy I have to ask you about. When Han takes the bowcaster and shoots it. People have been saying, what? He's been with them all that time and he's never used a bowcaster before?
That's my problem with it. That's my problem with that, and that's one of the problems I've had.
What I was thinking, though, is that it was a different bowcaster because it seems bigger than the one he had before, and it seemed to shoot different because that seemed to shoot more heavy projectile type, whereas before it shot the lasers.
Yeah, before the bowcaster seemed like it was just a blaster that was shaped like that.
Right.
And you're right, now it does seem to be more heavy firepower.
So that's what I think it was.
Yeah. There's that. Yeah, because it was like dropping two or three people with near hits, not direct hits.
But then you have the cheesy Han Solo not looking sad shot, but it was still cool.
Yeah, it was Han being Han.
Yeah.
And then Finn gets his butt kicked by a riot trooper, I guess, who screams traitor at him.
But that was a great setup, the way that he whips out that shock baton or whatever.
Whatever the heck that is.
Shock sticker or whatever, but, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Finn holds his own and then gets knocked on his butt, and then Han blows his dude in the face with the blaster. So, so you have all of that. Rey gets captured at this point because Ren basically senses her and goes to get her. I mean, he's looking for the droid. I think they told him the droid.
And some of the troopers that he shot, the ones who were live radio back, that there's a girl in the forest with the droid, so he goes after her.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, you've seen it? I'll just take you to hell with the droid.
Because he has new of pulling memories out of people's heads.
Right, because he tried it with Poe early on, and it worked.
Yeah.
So he captures her, and then
the good thing.
After the end of, and then in comes the resistance, and the return of Poe Dameron, who lights it up. I'm like,
yes,
dude, is he flying an X-wing or a Valkyrie? You know, what is he flying here?
He was so bad in that thing.
Yeah. I'm like, wow, this looks like Robotech. Yeah. This doesn't look like Star Wars.
That was one of the best, can't call it a space battle, but air battles I've seen in the Star Wars universe.
Yeah, because that little quick sequence of dip, hit, dip, hit, dip, hit, dip, hit. Oh, I'm near the ground. Let me flip up, hit. I'm like, didn't he take out like six of them and it looked like he didn't do anything?
Yeah. And still shooting people on the ground too.
And he still shot people on the ground around people that he was trying to protect. Yeah. So the First Order retreats, and they gather up whoever, and they go see Leia. And Han and Leia have their usual snarky banter back and forth, and C-3PO shows up with a red arm and leg.
Which I heard was explained in one of the new prequel
books
or comics or something, but.
Yeah. So like I said, I haven't had a chance to read any of that stuff.
Yeah, I haven't either.
So at that point, they're coming up in a plan. They mentioned the Republic, so the New Republic does exist. But they're not part of the New Republic, but they get support from the New Republic.
Yeah. Which again is something that's, explain more outside of the show, but it just seems like the Republic is not with a truce with the First Order. I mean, they're both holding ground, but politically, the Republic's always been a bit sketchy. So they don't support the resistance, which Leia leads officially.
Outright.
So it's more or less, if you have a senator who supports them, they'll send finance or ships their way. And so they're tacitly linked with them, but they don't have, that's why they didn't have all the big battleships and everything else that they usually had. And they just have a few X-Wings and, did they have some Y-Wings or A-Wings or something like that?
It looks like there were a couple things mixed in, but I think it was mostly an X-Wing squadron.
Right.
or a couple of X-Wing squadrons. Yeah,
but that's why, because they don't have the full support because they're afraid of antagonizing the First Order.
Right. And the First Order goes, yeah, we know you're helping them. Here, eat this. So they just blew up like seven planets in one shot. I'm like, ow.
I wish that was explained more beforehand. So you know that was the seat for the New Republic. Some explanation, because you don't really get any of that.
Right. Well, I mean, I don't think it was like even the Galactic Capital. I think Coruscant probably is still the Galactic Capital.
No, I think that was it. And again, I just know this from some other, like the book stuff, that the guy that was looking up was in charge of Republic. It moves to different planets now, the seat of government. So Coruscant is no longer the main head, so that leaves them wiggle room for the next one where it could be at Coruscant again.
Right. Because they're going to need a place to regroup and rebuild.
Right.
So then they come up with the plan of attack, and Finn's like, I got to get Rey, and everybody's looking like, how are we going to beat this thing, and blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. It's like, oh, they put a big fat weakness in it. Oh, we'll just do it like we did the Death Star. Like, this is a Death Star. This is this thing. That ain't going to work.
Yeah.
And he's like, and then they go, Well, he's like, hey, I worked there. Yeah. Ben goes, hey, I worked there. Yeah, we can do this, 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 and this, and there's that.
Well, and I like that.
So if we hit that.
I like that interchange where Finn and Poe are going down there to try and get Rey, get permission to go get Rey. And Leia's like, yep, we understand that, but we need to deal with this Starkiller base. So you work there. Let's get some information from you.
Right. And then the plan got made up to where they had to go in and disable the shield. Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, it was a big replay of the.
It was a replay of all three. Yeah. They took the original trilogy and they kind of mushed it into a movie, but they did it in such a way that you're not sitting there going.
No, I mean some people have a problem with that. To me, it was great. I thought it was great homage to the original series.
Yeah,
and
they had to pay homage to the originals. Yeah. They had to.
Oh, and
now they almost completely ignored the prequels.
Yeah,
because one of the voices that you didn't mention in her vision was Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
And Ewan McGregor actually came and did the line. And they cut in Alec Guinness's line.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you got both versions, both Obi-Wans, Yoda and Vader.
Right, yeah, I didn't
all
mean,
saying
yeah,
stuff
I heard
during
those
the
in
vision.
Well.
Forgot
to mention too, R2-D2 was there at the base.
Yes, and he was asleep.
Yeah.
He was taking a nap. Now, the thing that they don't mention is how long Luke's been missing.
No.
They don't say, because Ren, while strong in the Force, seems very untrained. So has Luke been missing a year, 2 years, 10 years? They just say he's been missing. They don't say how long he's been gone.
I know, and it's hard to say because, I mean, Ren looks like he's probably in his early 20s, I would imagine, in the world. So I would say 5 to 10 years, maybe, Luke's been gone.
I would say, because he wasn't gone the whole time.
Right.
Like the initial setup made you think he was gone the whole time,
right.
And he was not. So then... It has to be if Rey is his daughter.
Yeah,
I would say it has to be between 8 and 10 years.
Oh, okay, yeah,
that he's been gone. You know, so once they start heading for the plan is come up with like good old rebel fashion, like yeah, we're gonna do this, okay, we're gonna do that, okay, you do this, okay, great, let's go.
Yeah, I like that too.
And you got some of your old favorites because Ackbar is there, and then Nub is there.
Yeah.
There's one guy who's always in J.J. Abrams movies. He was he was the cop on Heroes.
Yeah, I saw him.
Yeah,
one of the other elite.
Yeah, he was one
leaders.
He was one of the X-wing pilots. So they show Rey, they show Ren interrogating Rey.
Yes, powerful
and
scene.
It's a powerful scene, and she's like, I ain't scared of you, you ain't nothing but a mask, blah, 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 blah. So he takes the mask off, and is like, oops. Okay, so how do I do this now? So he goes and tries to snatch the information from her mind, and she flips it on him.
Yep.
So she, all he's done is really turned around and activated more of her Force power
and teach her how to use it as she fights back against him.
Yeah.
To the point where she actually pulls from him.
Yeah, his fear.
Yeah.
His fear of never being as good or as strong as Vader. Because really, to be honest, we never really learned how strong Vader truly was.
No.
We never really knew.
Well, because he was always holding back because he was trying to turn Luke and not kill him or destroy
right.
him.
Right. And then, on top of that, even in the prequels, he's a punk.
Yeah.
Until like the last act of, in Revenge of the Sith, he's not a punk anymore.
No.
He can hold his own with anything.
Right.
But he's still a, but you still never really see how strong and powerful he is because the guy he's fighting knows every move he has because he taught him
to. So emotional compared to the Vader of the original trilogy, who after you know, so many years of being Vader, he could tap into the dark side and
right.
Not, he didn't have any fear of anything at that point.
Right. All he had hatred and he had anger.
Yeah, because
that's what he had at that point.
But he knew how to channel it. Anakin couldn't channel any of that, which made him because of, you know, Obi-Wan was good, but he admitted he's not the best Jedi at fighting and all that stuff.
Right. Well, I think one of the things they showed in the prequels that a lot of people overlook and they miss is once the plan is set in motion that the Jedi are going to die, did you not notice that the Jedi that we see on screen seem to get more powerful?
Yeah.
Like, nobody could take down General Grievous. All of a sudden, Obi-Wan wipes the floor with him.
He says,
in a lightsaber duel.
Yeah.
So, and when they introduced Grievous the first time, Grievous took out like 6 or 7 Jedi by himself.
Yep.
And then after, which is why I say one of the things I said about the prequels, at the end of the prequels, there are 2 Sith, there are 2 Jedi. Balance was actually found in the Force right there. I'm like, no, that's not the case. Think about it. There's balance right there. 2 light side, 2 dark side. Yeah. The dark siders might run the galaxy, but the 2 light siders there are the opposite. And then you have these 2 kids.
Yeah.
Who are going to try to, one isn't going to know her heritage, and one there specifically wants him to know his heritage.
Right.
So to bring that back onto to Rey and Kylo Ren, he's just activating more and more of her Force senses.
Right.
So he gets pissed. He walks off to go throw a temper tantrum to the Supreme Leader, and she tries to do the Jedi mind trick.
That was good. Yeah.
That was funny.
Do you know who that stormtrooper was?
It was supposedly Daniel Craig.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So you had that, and then she escapes. He finds out. He throws yet another hissy fit, and around the corner are coming 2 stormtroopers when he's throwing his hissy fit, and they look at each other and turn around and go back
the
other way.
Which is one of the funniest scenes in the movie.
I was so done right there. I laughed hard at that point.
It's like, what would you do in that situation? Same thing.
Because they don't know about the Vader and the Force choking thing. This dude just chops you up.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we already talked about how he dragged the guy to him to still physically strangle him with his own hand rather than from across the room, even though he could if he wanted to.
Right. Then by this time, you've had Solo and company arrive on Starkiller Base the hard way, coming out of light speed in the atmosphere. Physically, you know, I know nobody can go near light speed right now, but that thing would have went poof.
It makes good
story. It's Star Wars tech. Yeah. Hey, it's Star Wars tech, man. I don't argue.
It's an alternate universe.
Like they did it in Star Trek. It's not like they did it in Star Trek.
Star Trek. Don't get me started. They are talking about how they're going to ignore the second movie and the new series because it broke so many rules. It just invalidate everything, like starships. Because you can just poof and you're in another planet. So no need for starships.
You mean that dumb thing with the transporter, even though I enjoyed the movie?
Yeah, same here.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's why I just check my brain when this sci-fi. I'll just take it as it is.
Yeah, because, I mean, you just look and go,
Don't think about it. You do
realize that Star Trek is actual science fiction. Science being the first. Star Wars is science fantasy.
Yeah.
So we can get away with this stuff.
What was that and the fact that you could, you know, with them bringing Kirk back, now no one can die.
Yeah.
Technically.
Sure, what?
When they brought Kirk back by using Khan's blood.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
technically
yeah.
there's no, you know, there could be no death anymore. You just replicate Khan's blood and no one can die. But anyways, yeah. That's off track. Back to Star Wars.
Yeah, that's off track, but nice tangent though. So now they've arrived at the base. The scene, Finn has two scenes I absolutely hate on this base. Okay. And I love the character. Yeah. But he has two scenes I hate on this base.
Sanitation.
He was the damn janitor.
And let me guess the other one, Phasma, when he's the big guy.
Yeah, when he's talking trash to Phasma. I'm like, dude, why, you didn't have to make him an American from the hood acting like Kevin Hart, man. Really? No. This dude's too deep of an actor for that. I'll let it pass.
I did think it was funny when she turns off the shield, and they're like, well, what are we going to do with her? He's like, do you have a trash compactor? And he's just like, we do have a trash compactor.
Now, that was funny.
Yeah, that was funny.
That was funny.
But that was a real disappointment, too, that they didn't use Phasma more, that was her really big scene.
All the build-up for her, too, in the trailers, I was really looking for something big out of her because now she's been reduced to tall stormtrooper who you could have just put one of those stupid shoulder things on instead of making chrome or silver.
I'm reserving judgment because I believe in the next month she's going to be wrecking shop. So,
yeah, I do. I hope so. I really do hope so because for all that investment, there has to be something more. The thing that we didn't mention, that I didn't mention, and I don't know if I like it or not, when General Hux is giving his speech before the assembled Nazi party, the First Order.
Yeah.
When you look back over the officers gathered there, there were black people in there. Now, the thing with the Empire going back, and this was symbolism for the Empire going back, because if you don't know that the Empire was a stand-in for the Nazis, you need slapped real hard. So the fact that they added in black people to the quote-unquote quasi-Empire kind of throws me a little bit. I'm not going to say I hate it.
No, and it wasn't just black.
It's kind of like it kind of takes some of the any quote-unquote minority. It's kind of taking some of that power away from what the Empire was supposed to be.
And I don't think so, just in the sense that as the First Order, you know, they are not the old Empire. They're from remnants of the old Empire.
That's true.
And so I'm thinking because they were established out on those rim worlds where you're going to have more of those type of people than you would in the, you know, the civilized systems because they're going to be the people who were rejected or who didn't want to play ball. And so I thought it was good because if you look on the ships, was it the Infiltrator? I forget the name of the new starship. But the main person he talked to.
The big Star Destroyer?
Yeah, the big Star Destroyer. The main person he talked to get reports from was the black girl that was sitting there. But there was Indians and stuff. So,
There was definitely some of anybody, some of everybody.
That part doesn't bother me.
It doesn't necessarily bother me. But I was just thinking along the lines of the symbolism of what the Empire represented in the original trilogy.
I just think it would be
that's all. It's not a sticking point with me. It doesn't make me not want to watch the movies. Representation matters, and it should matter on the good guys and the bad guys too. But if you go back and you watch the original trilogy, specifically Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just watched it yesterday.
There is no nothing but old white men running the Empire and young white men sitting as officers.
Yeah, but also
when you look at the
I was going to say I also remember in the expanded universe that they've now done away with you had aliens and others leading those remnants after the Emperor was killed too.
Right. Well, there were some that were allowed because again, they based it so much off of the Nazis. There was a Jew or two that was allowed to live because they played ball.
Right.
There was people that were usually looked down upon by the party who they would accept because they were the quote unquote good ones. And with this being 30 years in the future, the Empire taking the losses that it took, this being a quote unquote slice or remnant.
Yeah.
Okay, I get it. Yeah. It won't stop me from watching
it this way.
Enjoying it.
The outcry if all the bad people were white.
and then it would have been multinational, multiracial
people fighting against this all-white oppressor. That would not play well.
It wouldn't play well today, but if you watch the original,
different time.
Because they were set up to represent different things, and the Rebel Alliance was set up to represent the Allies. The Empire was the Nazis.
Right.
You know, he even used World War II footage to do the dogfights in the original movie. So again, that's small. But back to the story. After they threaten to throw Phasma into the thing and, the shield's down, the signal is sent, the fleet of X-Wings shows up, pops out of hyperspace, and starts making runs. Poe Dameron is doing Poe Dameron-ish stuff. People are coming out of everywhere. Fighters, you know, and TIE fighters are getting busy on some of the X-Wings, and the X-Wings are giving it back to them for sure.
And their target was not inside this time, though, initially.
The target was initially not inside. It was something on the surface. And they ended up getting jumped before they could complete the mission. And you had the same type of setup of a time frame that you had to make it with the original Death Star.
Right.
You had to do it before it got around the planet. This time you had to do it before it ate a star.
Which is one thing they didn't really plan. I assume that moves to get new stars. Otherwise it'd be a one-use weapon.
Yes, yes, and yes. So yeah. That the Starkiller base would have to move again. Don't try to figure out Star Wars technology.
Yeah.
Just accept it for what it is and move on.
Yeah. It seems like a bit overkill to take away whole stars to destroy.
We are talking about the Empire here, or a remnant of the Empire. You know, the kings of, hey, let's build a super weapon. We'll make it really easy to destroy.
Eventually, the galaxy's kind of dark now.
Yeah, you know, eventually. Well, you there are billions of stars in a galaxy. So, you know, I doubt you're going to run out.
Yeah, that's true.
So now we have this firefight happening. We have the Motley crew in looking for Rey, and Rey actually doesn't need rescued yet again.
Nope.
And they run into each other.
Which was another...
Everybody's, yay!
Another good scene. They're like, you know, why are you pointing over there? What does this mean? What does this mean? Because, again, you know, if he is raised from birth to a stormtrooper, he wouldn't know what that meant, you know, really.
Right. So he turns around and looks like, oh, there she is.
That was hilarious.
Mm-hmm. And then, so they're finally all back together, and they're figuring out how they're going to get away and how they're going to blow the base. Because even though they took out the shield, they still have to stop it from firing.
Right.
So they're going down and they're placing explosives and whatever. And we're getting to the big spoiler of the movie.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Now, earlier in the movie, Leia and Han have this conversation about Han seeing Kylo Ren. Like, I saw our son.
Yeah.
And she's like, there's still good in him.
Which she's force sensitive, so she will feel it.
And she's right.
That's her power with the force.
That right. And they go, they head her back and forth, and she's like, bring our son home. Cool. I'm like, oh, okay. I'm like, I never thought it was gonna happen, but okay, cool. He's gonna try. So then we have the obligatory, why do all of these catwalks in Star Wars never seem to have freaking rails? You never noticed that?
Yes.
There's never any rails on these catwalks.
Why would you need those? Well,
when
Rey is escaping and she's gone on the side and she has a handhold. Mm-hmm. Like, who would build a handhold there just on the side of this thing? Like, how are you ever supposed to get to it?
And I mean, you know, it happens.
But, yeah, they are good at overall technical design, but not human engineering.
Mm-mm. Not at all. So after the explosives are being planted, and I don't know how Ren didn't feel him or he didn't give a hint.
I was thinking he was just distracted by everything that was going on.
No, you know what? He did feel him. When they first got there, he said Han Solo.
Oh, yeah, when he started off and he was like, yeah.
Yeah, when he first got there, he said Han Solo. So then they go around and Solo sees him. And he walks out on this catwalk, like he's going to someplace specific. Solo comes out and he calls his name. Ben. Now, Star Wars nerds everywhere's heads exploded when they called him Ben.
Yep.
Because Ben is Luke's son in the now defunct expanded universe.
I was thinking just in regards to Ben Kenobi. I mean, same thing, yeah. But that's, you know.
The naming after is probably the same thing.
Right.
Because without Ben Kenobi, him and Leia never would have
met. Right.
There you have that. So they starts talking and he's like, take off the mask. He's like, why? He's like, so I could see the face of my son. So he takes off the mask and he goes into this Anakin-like, a feeling speech, kind of like Anakin had the Attack of the Clones when he told Padme that he had killed all the sand people.
Which was about as emotional.
Yeah, both most emotional thing Hayden Christensen ever did in the movie. Yeah. So they're having their talk, and he's like, Ben, come home. You know, we can fix this. You don't have to do this. You can leave Snoke behind. And he's like, I want to do something, but I'm torn. I don't know what I want to do. And he starts to hand Solo his lightsaber, his saber hilt. And then it's like he makes his decision and he's holding it and Solo can't get it away from him. Meanwhile, watching all of this happen are some stormtroopers. Chewbacca and Rey and Finn from On High.
Yep. Which, can you just say, though, for that character playing Kylo Ren, it was good because, I mean, I was pretty certain that Han was going to die, but you honestly felt like there was a chance he could change his mind.
Yeah. Well, honestly, I felt like he was going to die because that's what he wanted 30 something years
right
ago.
That's why I knew that was going to happen, but I mean in the context of the movie alone, if you didn't know all that,
I would have thought he would have went out fighting. I would have thought they would have blown up the Falcon and he would have went out fighting in the Falcon.
I did not expect that.
I did not expect him for his son to stab him through the heart with his imperfect lightsaber. Yeah. And then the reach up to touch his son's face one last time, Leia's reaction, and as soon as Han falls away, Chewie loses it and pops him, and straight pops him. He didn't kill him, but he got him pretty dang good. He caught him in the lower, just below the ribs, in the gut. Yep. He caught him in the gut. And Rey and Finn start blasting at stormtroopers who are showing up. Everybody runs out, and it's like Chewie just blows it. He blows the thing that's holding and keeping the X-Wings from finishing their mission.
Which sets up the climactic lightsaber battles with Kylo Ren, Finn, and Rey.
And Rey. So Poe makes his run, does what he has to do. Actually, I think they stole something from Battlestar. With that run, I think they stole a little bit of the Battlestar Galactica run in it from a one episode. But whatever. I mean, it's not like Star Wars has never had a run, a trench run
before. Yeah, it's kind of like, I think, too, the Revenge of the Jedi, or Return of the Jedi. Because remember when, not Han, Lando, they had to go through there and fly around and hit stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And yet,
right.
Wedge help them and then fly back out, but they took different paths and everything.
Right. So he makes his run. They do that. The planet is starting to come apart, and you have Ren, who I think, I can't remember if she got knocked away.
Yeah, at the very beginning of the battle, Ren knocks Rey into a tree, and she falls down.
He does.
And
she falls down.
Finn already had the lightsaber from before.
On him, yeah, and right. So Ren, being the spoiled brat that he is, you know, spoiled brats is about their toys. It's like, that lightsaber is mine. He's like, you're gonna have to come. And Finn, in his most black moment, that would be me, says, you're gonna have to come get it. And then, and they start going at each other. And Finn is able to hold his own for a while.
Yes.
For a while with him.
And I think it also goes to speak that Ren is not as good as he thinks he is when he actually has to face other people who are a challenge.
Right. And, I mean, it's not even really that Finn is a challenge for him. What it is that Finn actually fights. Finn has to have some connection to the Force.
Right.
Because he should not have been able to fight with Ren at all.
And that's what I mean. Like, I don't think Ren faced Force users.
No, I don't think he has either. And for all we know, Finn isn't a Force user.
Right.
We all think he is. We all believe he is. But he might not be. I actually hope he is.
Yes. Yeah.
So they do their fighting, and Rey eventually jacks him up. No dismemberments. But he basically slashes him up his back.
Yep.
Which is a big fat owie.
Yeah.
And the lightsaber falls into the snow. So at this point, Ren is like, I have my victory. I'm going to claim what's my grandfather's now. And he reaches for it.
Yep.
He reaches for it, and you can feel the Force starts to shake the lightsaber, and it flies right past his hand into Rey.
Oh man, that was perfect.
And the theater lost it.
Yeah, that was perfect.
And the theater at that point lost it. She activates it, and they start what I would call the most unskilled, most brutal lightsaber duel I have ever seen in a Star Wars movie.
It was just pure strength. And
it was pure hack and slash.
There was no
skill
or anything like that.
There was no finesse. Yeah, there wasn't even what was between Luke and Vader in Return of the Jedi.
And I mean,
that wasn't even there.
Granted, in Ren's defense too, he was shot on the side.
He was hurt, and Finn did get a licking on
him. Yeah, he got,
if I remember right.
Hit him in his arm.
He hit him in the arm, yeah. So now him and Rey are going at it. And you could just see her getting more full of the Force, because even Ren had said to Snoke at some point, she's very powerful in the Force, but she's untrained.
Yeah.
Also, Ren doesn't want to kill her because he buys into the rule of two. He's like, I can train you. I can teach you.
Well, because he wants to be Vader. He wants to be the man in charge.
Yes. Yes. So then they continue their fight to the point where eventually Rey has had enough. And I can't remember what move she pulled, but she ends up slashing him, I think, from his arm up and across his face.
Yep.
And he falls back. And at this point, something I like to call the Force sellout happens. If you watch the prequel trilogy, there's two times the Force sold Yoda out. When Yoda is fighting. When he's fighting Count Dooku the first time.
Uh-huh.
In the, when he comes in to save Anakin and Obi-Wan.
Right. Mm-hmm.
He's like, oh, you fought well. Now I'm about to do you in. And boom.
Yep.
Oh, okay. And then when he's fighting the Emperor. And the Emperor's like, oh, wait, I'm about to lose. Oh, no. And the Force explosion happens.
Yep.
and it throws Yoda too far away.
Yeah.
Because if you look at the, you look in your day, put in Yoda's eyes, it's about to be over for the Emperor.
Yeah.
And then for Force Awakens, the Force sellout is the planet cracks.
Yep.
And separates.
Yep.
Which, to a trained Jedi, that separation wouldn't have been anything.
Right, dude, it just jumped over.
Yeah, but she's not trained.
But I mean, also when you go back a bit, when he has her on the edge of the cliff, and he's mm-hmm. telling her, you know, I can train you, blah blah blah, and she closes her eyes to tap into it. So she's a very gifted natural force user, which he seems like he needs that training to use the force. He's not a natural at it at all.
No, he is a natural at it, but his mind is so conflicted.
Well, yeah, I guess that's a better way of
saying he wants to be along on the dark side, but the light keeps trying to.
But that's what I mean with her. When I say she's a natural, is that she spent her life pretty much in isolation. So it's easier for her to tap into that peaceful zone.
To calm her mind. To calm herself. Yes. So it was just one of those things where it's like, oh, okay, it's on and popping now. And then the planet splits.
Yeah.
And then I think Chewbacca comes and picks up Finn, and they both run for the Falcon because the planet's obviously going to destroy itself. Hux has gone back and told, Snoke, this is messed up, man. We're going to lose this. He's like, go get him and bring him here. I need to complete his training.
But the thing to me that was surprising too is like he didn't seem angry.
No, it's almost like he foresaw it. Yeah. So they separate and you see the Falcon and what's left of the X-Wing fleet that went into this battle pop off in the hyperspace as a sun reforms in a different spot than what it was originally. And don't try to work out Star Wars technology.
I enjoy it just fine.
I just enjoy it just fine.
Yep.
This is for the people who like to watch movies and pick everything apart. Stop.
Yep.
Especially with sci-fantasy movies.
Yes. It is not Star Trek.
Yes. With Star Trek, sometimes you just gotta accept it and go on about your day.
Yeah. You're there to be entertained, not get a science lesson.
Yes. Yes. So with that, they go back to wherever the rebel base
is. Like Ilium or something like that.
Yeah, I can't remember the name of the planet, and hopefully I'll get to see
them all while I'm out. They only said the system. I don't think they ever said the planet.
Right. So, well, usually in Star Wars, it's whatever the main planet
is the system.
Is the system. So they land. You find out that Finn's alive, because if he was dead, I was going to be pissed.
Oh yeah.
He's alive. They're getting all the wounded together. R2-D2 wakes up.
Yeah.
Leia hugs Rey. R2-D2 puts up the rest of the map. BB-8 fills in the map.
Now, hold on real quick with R2-D2. Okay, he was asleep through most of it, and it is convenient that he just wakes up right at that moment. But what do you think he was waiting for to wake up? Because it could be two things. Like, some suggestions out there are that he was processing data the whole time. You know, after you've been in operation for decades, he was trying to piece together that information, and he had just got it at that moment, or
possibly
he was waiting for something externally to happen. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm going to say somebody else had the theory of that he actually started rebooting when BB-8 rolled up and rolled into him.
Ah, that's good.
And it just took that long.
I could buy that, yeah.
So then they find that. And she goes over, she kisses Finn on the head and says, I will see you again, my friend. She leaves, goes with Chewbacca and BB-8, and they go to and jump into hyperspace to somewhere. Now, earlier in the movie, they said that Luke left on a quest to find the quote-unquote first Jedi temple.
Right.
So wherever they end up landing, it's mostly a water planet with islands. And BB-8 and Chewbacca wait while Finn climbs these old school, if you watch the Kung Fu movie and the training thing, climb the steps, climb the steps, climb the steps, climb the steps. I swear she climbed the steps for 20 minutes.
There's lots of steps. It's the Skellige Isles.
Yeah. There's tons and tons and tons of steps. So she finally gets to the top. And at the top, we see a hooded figure. And everybody in the theater knows, okay, this is Luke. And she walks up, and she just holds out the lightsaber. And you see Luke start. Luke slowly turns. You see his robotic hand, and he pulls it back. And he looks like a scraggly Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Well, let's talk his hair and Han's hair in the movie.
Yeah, they were bad.
I mean, Han looked like he was initially, you know, just he doesn't care.
Yeah. And Luke is like, I'm a Jedi, I don't care about such things.
There's no one here but me.
There's nobody here but me. And actually there were a set of books.
Yeah.
That came out, and they were supposed to predate everything. It was called Dawn of the Jedi.
Yeah.
They were comic books, and there was at least one young adult novel that I started listening to on tape. And then they took all the Star Wars books off of TuneIn Radio.
I read the Dawn of the Jedi.
Okay.
I wasn't a big fan of them.
Well, the one that I was listening to, the young adult novel, per se, the Jedi didn't have lightsabers yet. They had steel swords. All of the races that you were one to, they were all in one system of planets.
Yeah.
Because they didn't have hyperdrive or whatever.
Yeah.
And the Jedi dealt with the light and the dark.
Right.
And there was a Sith race.
Right.
So they were making up new stuff to define the beginning.
Right.
And then that went away because now this is completely new continuity.
Yeah.
So now it's, okay, this planet is wherever the first Jedi temple was. And I guess he went there to meditate for 10 years. Like, how are you eating? Because I don't see no farms.
They're there somewhere, I'm sure.
I'm sure. Then,
or maybe he was on the mainland and just went there to meditate.
Yeah. And then they, so then that's pretty much where the movie ends. And what everybody seems to be thinking is, that there will be a several year time gap between Force Awakens and whatever they title Episode 8.
I think so as well, because I don't see them following immediately after the events that happened there. I mean, you need Finn to recuperate. You need Rey to become a Jedi, or at least a seasoned Padawan or something.
Yeah. You need the New Republic to be reconstituted.
Right.
There are all these things that need to happen in order for this movie to take place the next time and have it seem viable that you have these two forces and factions fighting each other. And for God's sake, no more super weapons. Have the Empire learn their lesson.
Yeah, I'm thinking that it was great that they did it in this movie, again, for the flashback or throwback stuff, but I still believe they set themselves up to move forward now without that baggage. Han's gone. Leia's a general, so it's easy to kind of write her out or have her just on a peripheral, because she didn't have that big a role in this one anyway.
No, she didn't.
Chewbacca staying around. Chewbacca and Rey becoming the new team.
The team.
With the Falcon.
Yeah.
That scene makes sense with BB-8.
Yeah, and with Finn and her and Finn being on the squad together too.
Well, I guess BB-8's one of those posts, so.
Yeah. And then you have, then of course you would have, you have to factor Luke in somewhere. Luke comes back and does something.
Yeah.
He has to do something. Even if he gets killed off in episode 8, he has to do something spectacular.
Yeah.
Because everybody wants to see the Jedi Master.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to see the last Jedi.
Yeah.
You know, he has to come in and show out.
And I think that will happen. I mean, they're gonna have
I don't think they had them get in shape for no reason.
Yeah, they're gonna have to move past the old characters completely though, and I think getting rid of Han Solo was the first good step towards that. I know he wanted to be out, and it kind of sets the precedent. You think with, Obi-Wan dying, kind of passing the torch in the first movie.
If it follows the pattern.
Then you had Qui-Gon Jinn in the prequels.
Yeah, you would have Leia and Luke die in episode 9.
Or at least where they're not out in the universe anymore. You know, making things happen. So like say they set up another Jedi temple and now Luke's purely a teacher and there's other Jedi there to go out while he's strictly focused on training, and maybe Leia gets in charge of the New Republic and they have a fleet again, because I think they don't have a standing army anymore, which is crazy. That to me doesn't make sense.
Dumb with remnants of the Empire out
there.
You
got the First Order there, but you're not going to have a standing army, and those a fight, you're going to keep at arm's length who are protecting you. They have to do some explaining for that to make sense to me. One of the things I like most about the movie was that they made the Force mystical again and not midichlorian, science-y based.
Yeah. There's not a science reason for it.
No.
There was too much. They with the prequels, they went too much into explanation with stuff.
Yeah.
And then by the end of it, by the time they got to Attack of the Clones, and Revenge of the Sith, they said, midichlorians, what are those? Well, I don't know what you're talking about. Like I said, I really enjoyed it.
Yes.
Hopefully, maybe I'll get time to see it tomorrow, because I don't want to try to squeeze it into my schedule once I go back to work next week. Like I said, it was a good movie. I want to see it again to see the stuff that I missed.
Oh, yeah.
But before we end up done on that, we do have at least one other big movie that, for you and I, would have started the modern era of special effects finally getting a sequel. Did you see the trailer for Independence Day?
Yes.
Two?
Yes. I would say it's not a movie I thought needed to be done, but I'm digging the prequel or the preview.
I'm digging the preview. I want to see it. It didn't need to happen. And I need to see more, but I think I'm in to see it.
Yeah, I am definitely.
I'm definitely in to see it.
I want to see it. It's looks like it's going to be pretty good. So, more space stuff that's just ridiculous and out there. It seems they're going to follow that. And remember the first Independence Day kind of blew us away. We weren't expecting it to be as good as it was.
Really, it wasn't that good. After you get the. Look back.
Well, I mean, I've seen this.
For the time. The effects were we were sitting there looking like, wow, I feel like I'm watching that anime. As far as the effects went.
It's not one of those timeless movies, but at the time it was very well received and it had a good effect on me.
It did on me as well.
Yeah, watching the video again, not as much trying to watch with my kids. Sure.
Right. Well, and then you got to think that how far have effects come since 1995?
Light years.
It was a summer event movie. It wasn't meant to have any real profound meaning, even though that was still the best pep talk I ever heard a president give.
Yeah.
So.
Jessica Jones, just real quick, have you seen any more of that?
I completed it.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah, I finished it. Jessica Jones was good. It was slower than I expected it to be, but it was set up to be more of an, I forget the detective genre,
yeah.
Noir, N-O-I-R. Yeah, Noir. I can never pronounce it. Then it was also like they didn't downplay her powers, but they didn't put them to the forefront either. Like it wasn't. It was like, yeah, she has powers, so what?
I don't.
This is more about her.
I think her and Luke, you know, their powers were way too understated. And
well, with Luke, it's not his story.
No, I know that. You know what I mean? Just saying in this action scenes, because I haven't finished it. I've only seen, I think I'm on episode six or seven.
Yeah, there are points where you're like, okay, you can see exactly how strong Luke probably is. There are points. But again, it not being his show, they aren't showcasing him like that.
But I think even with her, there was just something, like, I don't know. It's going to take me off finish, and I'm not really digging it too much because there's good storyline stuff, but the people are so horrible in the show, with the exception, I think, of Luke. Like, I don't like any of the characters.
Oh, you mean, yeah, I felt that too. Like, I can honestly say that I really, as good as it is, as good as of a story as it was, I don't even like her.
Yeah, exactly. I don't.
I don't like anybody. Everybody's like this horribly broken, twisted person. But again, at least in her defense, it's because of what Kilgrave did.
And I get that, but it's like, come on, really? I mean, for me, it's just too much. And I can see where some people would gravitate towards that stuff, and they like those shows, but for me, I need some light. You know,
and they said they were making them dark.
Yeah.
Darker on purpose because the movie universe is so light.
I understand that, but, you know, I don't know. This is my personal thing, like what I was, not necessarily as a commentary on whether the show itself is good or not, but just for me and my taste.
Right.
I think that there's always light with the darkness, and I don't see enough of that in there. And they have very good reasons for why the people are the way they are in that show.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. It's just too dark for me.
Well, it really doesn't lighten any. I can tell you that right now.
Why I was like, I'm not sure if I'm going to finish it. And again, that's just from my personal thing of what I want to see and what I subject myself to.
Right. Well, I mean, I can understand that. You know, being somebody who's known you forever and a day, you know, I get it.
But it is very good writing on the show. And you know, it's not that it's a badly put together show. I'm not saying at all. This is just my personal opinion on this.
Right. Oh, you're speaking in general terms about your feelings on, you know, the subject of it and how they do the characters. Because there really isn't a decent person in that show. No. Everybody's effed up. Literally.
Yeah.
I mean, even Luke. I mean, but you still don't even know what his thing is. You just know that, hey, I don't want to be bothered with anybody.
Yeah.
That's the most of what you get out of Luke. But he's drawn to her for some reason.
Yeah.
You know, but I did, I mean, so you've seen the fight in the bar. Right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you saw the fight in the bar.
I saw a fight.
So you know.
I'm thinking the last one I'm talking about was after, well, first when they, again, spoilers. If you haven't watched the show, but when they captured Kilgrave, that didn't go down as way I thought it should have went at all. But I understand they had to do that to keep the story going. But to me, it was ridiculous. That's why I say she, or her powers, I know she holds back a lot, but that didn't seem like an instance when she would have been holding back.
I look at her powers kind of like I look at classic Wonder Woman's powers. It's like, one minute it's like, wow, she's super strong. And the next minute it's like, huh? Why is this like this?
Yeah.
You know what
Well,
I mean?
That in the fight in the, where they had all the marijuana plants, that one.
Yeah. Cause I'm like, okay, now, they never actually say, well, in the show, because the show's still not the comics.
Right.
She's not bulletproof.
Right. I know she's not bulletproof. Okay. But she, when she throws people, they should go farther than just a couple feet and then be able to get right back up to attack her.
Yeah. That part I didn't like. And Luke just basically just slapping people.
Yeah, that's the thing. Hilarious. It's like two of you with superpowers and these guys keep getting back up and overpowering you.
Well, I think with Luke is a case of he didn't want to accidentally kill anybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so.
But still, he'd be able to hit people hard enough where they're not going to get back up right away.
And eventually he does. Okay. But I can't remember if he has another fight scene in there, but I think, you'd have to watch it. I don't want to spoil it for you. Let's just say.
I'll probably finish it. It's not something I can't go through it like I did with Daredevil, where I just watch them back to back.
Okay.
And I've been watching that and interspersing it with Dark Matter, which I really like.
Okay, I have not seen Dark Matter.
It's excellent. To me, it's like a second best Firefly type show. It's not as good as Firefly, but it has a lot of the same elements.
Okay. Yeah, because I didn't get into Firefly, the show. I did watch the movie.
Yeah.
I thought the movie was good. But from the little bit of the show that I watched, mm-hmm. I'm like, I thought the movie was supposed to be a continuation. The movies are partial continuation, partial rehash.
Well, the movie's a wrap up. That's all it is. It's just a wrapping up of the loose ends that they didn't get a chance to do for the show. Like, I love Firefly. Mm. To me, that's still the best science fiction on TV that I've seen. Even though I didn't see it on TV because I was overseas and it was done before I even knew it was out.
Right. Good old Fox. We'll cancel it before it gets good.
But Dark Matter is very good. The very well developed characters. There's one character I don't like because he's a whiner, but most of them, the rest of them are really good. And every episode, they seem to have stuff that surprises me. Even I'm on like episode 12 or 13, and they still each episode has something that shocks you. But very well developed.
That's cool.
It's on Netflix. That's where I watch it.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to check it out, because then there's the new sci-fi show, The Expanse. I haven't heard anything about that either way.
Yeah, there's a bunch of shows come out, and I have not seen them.
See, but they're saying, I think they tried to give The Expanse too high a praise, because it's like, oh yeah, it's the next Battlestar Galactica. I'm like, dude, nothing on sci-fi is going to top that Battlestar Galactica that they did.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
But that was hyper dark too. It got to a point where, dude, I can only watch episodes. I can't watch the story. I can't watch the whole thing. And I have it.
Yeah.
On Blu-ray and on iTunes. And it's like, it's just too damn dark.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, I get it. The tragedy thing. And then as they do the realistic thing of everything going to hell.
Yeah.
It gets to be too much.
Yeah.
It's like, there's no, where's the hope? Where's the anything? And they're like, well, we're going to find Earth. We're going to find Earth. And they find Earth. Dang, man.
Yeah.
Dang. And then my favorite, then the only woman on the show that I find attractive blows her brains out. Spoiler alert. I'm like, come on.
Yeah. So a lot of the new shows coming out, I figure when they come on one of the streaming services, I'll catch them. But,
I know your son probably would have put you down with it. Have you had a chance to check out Iron Blooded Orphans yet?
No, not yet.
You got to watch it. I think you'll appreciate it.
Right, yep. So on my list of things to see. My TV watching has been limited because my free time has been playing Fallout Just Cause.
Also, Dragon Ball Super.
No, that's not the one that came in the theater. That was F, right?
No, that was Resurrection of Freezer.
Yeah, because that's the one I ended up.
Well, actually, it's not bad. I have it. I bought mine on iTunes.
Oh, okay.
But it's not overly graphic. They don't overly cuss or anything like that. Not in the dub version, anyway.
Yeah.
I'm sure in the Japanese, in the subbed version, they do, more, cause, you know, they're Japanese. Yes. But the show, the actual show, is the first, I think they're 24, 25 episodes in.
Yeah.
This first 25 episodes has been expanded versions of the last two movies.
Okay.
So it's been Battle of the Gods and Resurrection of Frieza played out, expanded. And apparently there's going to be some Otherworld tournament and all kind of craziness.
Oh, cool.
So that's coming from the manga.
Yeah.
People are like, oh, I gave up on the new anime show. I'm like, dude, I ain't giving up on this. This looks good. I mean, I'm with this. You know, but, you know, everybody's in the High School of the Dead or whatever the heck it is. Nobody likes Mecha anymore. I'm like, I must just be getting old. But that's, was there another movie? Oh, Batman Superman coming out.
Yeah.
That looks good. Yeah, there's points where I'm like, oh, this is gonna be good, and then they do something in the trailer, and I'm like, this is gonna suck.
I'm still on the fence. Like I said, I'm gonna watch it. I will be in the theater
see
to see it, but I'm going in with an open mind.
Yeah, I have to, because that joke at the end of the trailer, yeah. I was just like, that just pulled me completely out of it.
Now,
I'm like, that is not who y'all are. That's not who y'all are as characters.
No, Civil War.
Civil War, dude, I'm so there for Civil War. I'm so there for that.
At least we'll get some Black Panther before the movie.
Yeah, that they pushed back to force another Spider-Man movie down our throats.
That and Ant-Man, because they added that since that last one did so well. They threw that in there.
Yeah, but that's not till after.
I'm just saying
Black Panther. Yeah.
They're banking a lot now on these movies that these actors are even going to be around to do this stuff.
Yeah.
When you start pushing things out this far.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm pretty sure Black Panther is like getting ready to start filming. Chadwick Boseman ain't giving up that Marvel check.
I get Black Panther. I don't care. They can do whatever they want with the rest.
Yeah.
I'll see
much.
It when
I still
it comes out, but.
I haven't seen Ant-Man.
It's good. It's really good.
I've heard it's really good, but I have not seen Ant-Man.
And I will look forward to the sequel, but, not at the expense of anything else that was previously planned. I'll put it that way.
Okay. Yeah. Cause that once I heard they were pushing Black Panther back almost a year because of another Spider-Man movie. Come on, man. We've had five Spider-Man movies.
Who cares? I'm done with Spider-Man. It was novel. I mean, I was never a really big Spider-Man fan. He was okay.
I am a big Spider-Man.
Yeah, I know there's
fan
a lot of people
when they do it, when they do him right.
Yeah, but.
They do him right. And I liked the two amazing Spider-Man movies. I liked both of them. Like, the first one, the end of it, they kind of screwed up. The second one, I thought they nailed him.
Yeah.
There was parts of it that weren't great, but they nailed him. That's how Spider-Man acts. You know what I mean? Yeah. But oh, it sucked. It was terrible. I was like, it was better than Tobey Maguire's whiny ass. I hate Tobey Maguire.
I liked him in the first Spider-Man.
In the first one, it was cool. But he never grew up.
No.
He was still
the
same guy.
But I didn't like the other guy that played Garfield.
I liked him as Spider-Man. I thought he was better overall.
I just don't like him.
Well, yeah, he kind of a jerk.
Yeah, he's, yeah, and
he's Peter Parker is a jerk.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, but I thought he was a better Spider-Man than Tobey Maguire by miles. But that's just me.
Oh,
what do I know?
There's one more thing here. I got on, I just saw Carrie Fisher. This, I guess people were talking about her.
How old she looked.
Yeah. So she replied, please stop debating about whether or not I age well. Unfortunately, it hurts all three of my feelings. My body hasn't aged as well as I have. Lois. And then she followed up with, my body is my brain bag. It hauls me around to those places and in front of faces where there's something to say or see. So
yeah,
for all those nerds out there who thought they were going to see Slave Leia again, it's like, You know, she wore lots of costumes in those movies besides the slave one.
Yeah, well, on top of that, never get into it with someone who is good enough to have written movies that have been considered for Academy Awards. Yeah. Your brain isn't good enough.
Yeah. Exactly. But I think that's about all the time we have for tonight. That's been a marathon run for us.
Yes, it has. So when we do this sometime in January, hopefully we'll have less bad news. Oh, I'm on the wrong thing. Maybe we'll have another movie to talk about, or to prep, or to lead up to another movie. And we're seeing more positive things in the new year.
Yes.
Because it'll be maybe we could do a new year, hopes for the new year show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, because I'm pretty sure the Steelers will be out of the playoffs.
Yeah. Man, the Steelers,
Their defense is so bad.
Yeah, this year. Yeah.
But, you know, that's my team. I'll ride with them till
Same
I die.
Here. Same here. But that was our Steelers. That was our Star Wars Force Awakens podcast and a couple extras thrown in for you. So, again, if you want to talk about it, discuss with us, you could go onto our website, believethat.blackvalor.net, or send us an email at believethatnews@gmail.com, and go to Facebook, Twitter, Believe That News. And we'll be more than happy to discuss your opinions of the movie or anything else we've covered. Our next podcast will be in January, most likely in the middle part of January. And who knows, next year maybe we'll get back on our regular schedule once a week. So that's all I had. Anything for you, Flip or Matt?
No, that's it.
All right.
Thanks for listening.
See ya.
See you.